Chapter 8, verse 9, continuing something that we started in Sunday school. And again, thank you for our Patch children and the Patch parents that bring your kids each and every Wednesday. We really appreciate that. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, and we're going to be talking about grace giving this morning, continuing with our stewardship theme. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. Verse number 9, children that are ages 4 through 9, you're going to be dismissed. Children's church is right next door. 10 and above can stay in. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Men, if we can get the lights on up front here, I appreciate that. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. We will eventually, between now and next Sunday, go through 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9. This morning we'll cover several verses and talk about grace giving, how you and I are going to partner together in stewardship and reaching the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, I want you to read together with me down to verse number 9. And this is dealing with the church at Corinth. Paul is writing to them about some giving that they had promised to do. And they had stopped doing that, and Paul wanted to remind them of the promise that they made. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, starting with verse number 1, read together with me. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Insomuch that we desire Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Paul here giving them some encouragement about grace giving ends in these first 9 verses, comparing what Jesus Christ did for us. Amen. When you think about giving, you can't outgive God, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So Paul ties that theme in here to remind them of why he's even writing to them, because they have a kinship in Christ. And Christ is the reason that they are bonded and banded together. And he wants others to be bonded and banded together as they give. This morning, let God speak to your heart as we talk about the subject of grace giving, how we reach the world with the gospel being here in Tucson. Father, bless now these next moments that we have together. Help our hearts to see the word of God. Lord, help us most of all to see Jesus Christ and why we do what we do. It's all because of Jesus Christ. It's because of the gospel, the good news that we want to get around the world, the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He not only died for us, but he died for the entire world. He wants people to be saved. And help us as we obey you to get the gospel around the world. We thank you so much for loving us. Open our hearts, open our minds to this time. Lord, I pray if there's a man, a woman, a boy, or a girl under the sound of my voice this morning, they would not leave this morning until they can confidently say that I have Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. He died for me, and I have him. Bless now these next moments that we have together. Help our children next door, but help us today to listen intently that we may know what you would have us to do. And we'll thank you for what you've already done and what you will continue to do, and help us to leave here differently than when we came in. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. And Fred and his group have a song they're going to sing for us. So as we're being seated, they're going to come.
Many years I've been looking for a place to call home, but I failed to find it, so I must travel on. Don't care for big mansions or earth-seeking sand. I found a place in heaven, glory land. Yes, God built my final home in the midst of glory land, in the shades of the towering tree of life where it will ever stand. I can hear the angels sing and shake Jesus' hand. Yes, I've got a place in a mansion in glory land. I said, Lord, I'm so thankful you saved my sinful soul. I am not worthy, but you have made me whole. I through your mercy and your generous hand, for you've been a prepping in a glory land. Yes, God has built my final home in the midst of glory land, in the shades of the towering tree of life where it will ever stand, where I can hear the angels sing and shake Jesus' hand. Yes, I got a place in a mansion in glory land. I've been dear loved one once who've gone all this way. On that final morning, I hope to hear them say, come and join in the singing and play in the band. Our home been yonder in glory land. Yes, God has built my final home in the midst of glory land, in the shade of the towering tree of life where it will ever stand, where I can hear the angels sing and shake Jesus' hand. Yes, I got a place in the mansion in glory land. I got a place in the mansion in glory land.
Amen. Thank you, man. I'm glad I've got a mansion in glory land as well. He said, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there ye may be also. Amen. And I'm looking forward to that, and I trust you are as well. Amen. And not only that, amen, there are some people waiting to hear about Jesus Christ so that they can get there as well. Amen. And that's what missions is all about. We're dealing with stewardship right now in this month, and stewardship is taking care of that which God has given to us. And by the way, you have a life, I have a life, and what we do with that life matters to God. Amen. Did you ever consider that? That one day God's going to call you into account and say, what'd you do with your life? Amen. What are you going to say? Well, I wasted my life, Lord. Amen. I don't want to hear that. I want to make sure I take care of my life. Amen. And I trust you to as well. But guess what? It's not just all about me. Other people want to go to heaven too. They just don't know how to get there. We knocked on scores of doors yesterday on door knocking, and you ask people, are you sure you're going to heaven? And to hear them say no breaks your heart. But I have to remember, one day I was there. And someone asked me, hey, do you know you're going to heaven? And I had to say, no, I'm not sure. But I said, but I think so. And they said, well, how do you know? I said, well, I was raised Catholic, and so I went to the Catholic Mass. I even went to Ash Wednesday and let them put some black stuff on my head. I ate fish on Friday, amen, so there's got to be some place for me. I got sprinkled. I went to the confession booth. I told them what I did. Well, I really didn't tell them what I did, amen. I actually lied in the confession booth. That's bad, amen. And so I went there, and I did all these things. I went to the Baptist church on Sunday. I got baptized. They asked me, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? I said, yes. They said, do you believe that God, he died? I said, yes. They said, you believe that God rose him again? I said, yes. They said, amen, you can get baptized. And so I got baptized. So I must be saved, right? And I got a resounding no. I said, then why did I do all that? I thought I was doing that to go to heaven. And so there are people that don't know, like I was. I didn't know. And so we have what's called missionaries. Brother Feinauer and his family are missionaries to Southeast Asia. Their job is to take the gospel to those people there. And those people can know what you know. And those people can learn what I learned. And those people can have what you have. What is that? The knowledge that you've got a mansion in heaven because you've got a Savior in glory. And that's what it's all about. And so when you look at missions and missionaries and stewardship, it's taking care of what God gave us. And so you and I that are born again have the privilege to give so that others can know as well. Amen. And what a blessing it is to have that privilege. Grace giving is what we call it. Why do we need a missions program? And mission could be this. It's someone sent to do a religious work at a location, wherever that may be. And that would be a mission. So a missionary would be someone sent to do that work. Why do we need a program? Just for review, Matthew 28, Jesus said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." He said, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. You and I can't go to all nations, although some of us would like to go to Hawaii. How many of you like to go to Hawaii? Amen. Sign me up. I want to be a missionary to Hawaii. How about going to Tahiti? I want to be a missionary down to Tahiti. Amen. I want to be a missionary to the Bahamas. Sign me up. Amen. But then when you say, how about who wants to go to Timbuktu? Who wants to go to China? Who wants to go to Siberia? Who wants to go to Joliet, Illinois? Preacher, why you say that's where I'm from? The prison is there, Stateville. Amen. Amen. Hey, they need the gospel there.
They do.
There are places we'd like to go, and there are places that we don't want to go, but God has someone designated to go just about every place. Our job then is just to get in on God's program and help them to get there. Amen. Hey, they can't get there on their own. And so Matthew says, go ye therefore and teach all nations and then baptize them once they're saved in the name of the Father and of the Son of the Holy Ghost. And then teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So why do we need a missions program? Because you and I have the privilege to go, and we can't go everywhere. But guess what we can do? We can give. We can give. We're to go everywhere. Acts 1:8 says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and into the uttermost parts of the earth. God said, you're going to go everywhere. So we need a missions program. But then we have to finance this program so that people can go. So how do we finance it? It's found in 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8 and just for introduction, 2 Corinthians 8 9 is not describing missions giving. It's describing grace giving or giving by grace. Our missions program is based on the principles of chapters 8 and 9 of giving by grace. And Paul is writing Corinth about helping to meet needs financially for the saints in Judea who were happening to be struggling. And he said, look, I want you all to get involved in this. And he says, I want you to remember a promise that you had, because this church at Corinth had promised to give. You ever made a promise and you didn't keep up on it? Amen. Now, I remember before I got saved, I know y'all never did this. People say, are you going to come to church on Sunday? And I say, yes. And when Sunday came, guess where I wasn't? In church. I wasn't in church. Then they come back to me. And they say, hey, you let me down. Are you going to be in church Sunday? And I say, yep, I'll see you there. Sunday came. Guess where I wasn't? In church. They get me again. Now you promise. Are you going to be there? And I said, yep. And would lie to their face and smile when I said it, knowing full well I wasn't going to be there. You know what I did? I broke a promise. But one day my wife made a promise and said, we're going to be in church. And you know how it is when your wife involves you in a promise. You know what happens, men, if you don't get involved with that promise your wife made? It's not going to be fun for you. And she made the promise. She said, we'll be there. And she got up and started getting dressed. And I'm looking at her. She won't go. She won't go. I'll try to keep her in the bed. I'll try. You know, you're tired today. And she kept getting dressed. I'm thinking, she's serious about this thing. Now, we had done this routine before and went to the church parking lot and said, well, we're 2 minutes late. We're not going in. Go home. Maybe we'll get there. She won't go in. I got dressed. And I said, if I don't go, she's going to talk about me. We got there. And we went in. Amen. And I thought, what in the world are we doing here? She made a promise, and now I got to keep it. Men, sometimes the best thing you can do is listen to your wife.
Yes, sir. That's right. Amen.
Because she made a promise, I got saved. I sat there and I heard that preacher preach, and I said, he's speaking to me. He had that long bony finger that pointed all the way down to my pew and kept going like that, talking about you. And I looked around the church. I said, who done told this man all my dirt? I looked back and I didn't know a face here. I said, my wife must have told him. But she didn't know him either. And he's still you. You. And I'm thinking, if I can ever get out of here, I ain't never coming back. You, when they say the last amen, shoo, I'm out of here. But you know something happened that day? With a promise that she made, the Holy Spirit gripped me. And the Holy Spirit said, you want to know, don't you, if you're going to heaven? And I said, I sure do. I said, but I don't want to go in the front. Everybody's going to know that I'm a sinner. Duh. I didn't know that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I knew I had sinned. But if the preacher say, if you're not saved, you're a sinner, come forward. I'm taking 3 steps back. I don't want everybody to know how big of a sinner I am. An amazing thing happened. Nobody wanted to go home. And everybody stayed at the church. And it's either do or die. I'm going to either go forward, I'm going to go home unsaved. And I didn't look back. I grabbed my wife's hand. We went up there and talked to the preacher. I never looked back because I didn't want to see anybody's face. I said, you sinner! I don't want to see them. And I said, preacher, what's this stuff about heaven and hell? He said, you want to go to heaven? I said, that's a dumb question. I sure don't want to go to hell. Why are you doing that? And he got someone to take me and show me in the Bible how I could be saved. How that all had sinned. And all had come short of the glory of God. And the wages of these sins that I held in my life were going to commit to cause me to go to hell. Because the Bible says all have sinned to come short of the glory of God. The wages of those same sins is death. And that's what brought me forward. The Holy Spirit pulled me and said, son, you want to get an answer, don't you? I said, yes, I do. Son, you want to be saved? Yes, I do. The next 2.5 hours was the hardest time for me. I had to admit that I was a sinner. And I had to admit that there was nothing that I could do to get myself to heaven. And I had to let go of all of my self-righteousness, how I had given to the church, how I was Catholic, and how I went to a Baptist church, and how I was baptized, and how I was sprinkled, and how I did all these things. And all of my goodness has got to account for something, right? Wrong. When Jesus Christ hung on the cross, he said, it is finished. There's nothing left to be done but to receive what I've already done. And I spent the next 2.5 hours trying to convince myself that I was okay. But every time I said, you're okay, the Holy Spirit said, no. Every time I said, I'm okay, the Holy Spirit said, no. And praise God for a man that stuck with the Word of God. He didn't entertain my arguments. He didn't get involved in any of the foolishness that I had to say. He kept saying the wages of sin is death. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I said, is there anything else you know besides that? He said, son, you need to be saved. And all have sinned and come short of the glory. I thought, here we go again. You know, I was trying to get him to get away from that because I didn't want to admit that I needed Jesus Christ to save me. I thought I could just keep my present life the way it was and have Jesus too. Doesn't work that way. I had to renounce what I was holding on to, my religion and my credentials, and I had to renounce all of that and all the things that I thought I had, and look solely to Jesus Christ, who had died on the cross for me, who was buried and who had risen again. And in humility, I had to bow before him and said, I need you to save me because I can't save myself. And that was the hardest thing to admit. And that's the hardest thing for most people to admit, that I can't save myself. Surely there's something I can do. Surely there's something I can give. Surely there's somebody I can be. I am already who I need to be, a sinner. And Jesus came to seek and to save them that was lost. I'm so glad my wife made that promise that day after 2.5 hours. Of this man sticking with the Bible and sticking with all have sinned and come short of God. And the wages of sin is that. After 2 hours of hearing that, God finally broke my spirit. He said, son, you're lost without Jesus Christ and you must be saved. I loved you. Get away from what you want to do and understand what I've already done. And guess what happened? I wept like a baby. I felt naked, embarrassed, and ashamed before a holy God who had done everything for me and just asked me to admit that I was a sinner. And I felt so ashamed. I felt so lost. I felt so naked. And I cried. I said, he did it for me. And I bowed my head February 3rd, 1991, and asked Jesus Christ to save me. I'm so glad for the promise that she made because I got saved. The Corinthians made a promise here. They promised to give so that others could be helped. And Paul is writing, reminding them of a promise that they made. And he's saying, hey, look, you guys made this promise, and so I want you to be involved. And by the way, everybody that is saved can be involved in giving to worldwide evangelism. And by the way, if you're not saved, what Jesus Christ wants for you is not your money, but your heart. He wants you to be saved. And so as we look down here, you and I are saved by grace. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. And so we're saved by grace, and then we give by grace so that others can be helped. And so chapters 8 and 9 deal with this collection of money being given to help poor saints in Judea. And we use the principle of how they gave and how we give to missions. In the Sunday school class, we kind of differentiated between the Old Testament and the New Testament and how that ties together. And I want to see several things this morning here about this giving that they tried to do here and they were being challenged to do. And the goal is this, to stir us up to remember that the same way I was lost and needed to be saved, there are people around you that are lost and need to be saved. But there are people in other countries like Southeast Asia that need to be saved, and China, and Korea, and Africa, and Australia. There are people in South America that you don't know, but God already has somebody willing to go to them. To help us obey Matthew 28:19, when he says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. When he says, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts, there's somebody that God has already willing to go. They just need somebody to help them get there. Amen. And that's where you and I come in as a church. Let's notice, first of all, grace giving defined. Because to do what we're trying to do and get missionaries around the world so that others can be saved is going to be by God's grace, grace giving. And that's what Paul is talking about here. Notice the times grace is used in these verses. Notice verse number 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit to the grace of God. Notice verse number 6. And so much that we desire Titus also as he begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Notice verse number 7. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and all diligence and in your love to us, as ye abound in this grace also. Notice verse number 9. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Come down all the way to verse number 19. Not that only, but who also was chosen of the churches to travel with this grace. And so this grace that they're talking about is the way that they gave, the grace giving defined. Grace gives us the strength or ability to do God's will. Grace simply means this. It's undeserved favor. It's loving kindness. It's goodwill. Mostly all of America and around the world, we know the song Amazing Grace. But few people understand the true impact of the song. Amazing grace that saved a wretch like me. Wow. Do you understand what God saved when he saved you? Preacher, I was refined. I was dignified. I was refined. I was smart. I had money. You had sin. You had sin. And no amount of money, no amount of dignification, no amount of education, no amount of anything can get rid of our sin. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ. And so when I sing Amazing Grace, I need to point that back inward. He saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I was found. I'm blind, but now I see. Hallelujah and praise God. God is good. Grace defined. It's undeserved favors, getting what we don't deserve. It's God's ability to do God's will. Let's notice here God's grace that was demonstrated through the saints here in verses number 1 through 5. Paul lets us know it was only by God's grace or favor that the churches in Macedonia were able to give. And these churches probably were Philippi, Thessalonica, and possibly Berea. And grace gave them the strength or ability to do God's will. And notice this, because a lot of times we think, well, preacher, how can I give? I'm in poverty. You're not in poverty. You go to the Philippines, you'll see poverty. You go down to Mexico, you'll see poverty. You go to some African countries, you'll see poverty. I dare say you go in some of the ghettos and you won't see poverty. As long as Uncle Sam's got food stamps, you're not going to see poverty. Poverty is when I can't have what I know I need to live and survive. That's poverty. We call poverty only one TV. We call poverty, I only got one telephone, one cell phone. We call poverty, I only have two vehicles. We call poverty, I only have one microwave. We call poverty, well, I only got two bicycles. We call poverty, I only have 12 pairs of shoes. We call poverty, I only have 16 purses. We call poverty, I only have 15 dresses, amen. We call poverty, I only have one suit, amen. We call poverty, well, you know, all I got is McDonald's for dinner, amen. That is not poverty. That is not poverty. Some kids are like, yes, it is. No, it's not. You're spoiled. That's what it is. You're spoiled. That is not poverty. Go to one of these countries where they don't have a whole lot, amen. Grace can be shown in poverty. Notice verse number 2. Paul says, you know, these churches in Macedonia knows what happened. He said, in the great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty, not even a light, shallow poverty. He says deep poverty, amen. Now, I don't know about you, but I like shallow water. I can wade around in it. I can play around. I can do the backstroke, amen. But deep water, I can't touch the bottom. I'm afraid when I can't touch the bottom. Preacher, can't you swim? Yes, but not that good. I would be afraid to be in the ocean on the water. That's why I didn't join the Navy. I said, if the boat goes down, guess what? I can't stay on top but for so long. Say, preacher, you can be like them folk in the Titanic. Yeah, the ones that sunk. Amen. I'm not for that. He says, hey, look, this is not shallow poverty. This is deep poverty. And he said that abounded unto the riches of their liberty. He said that helped them give. Glory to God. So grace was demonstrated through their poverty. It can be shown through their poverty. Notice it can be shown beyond our power. Notice verse number 3. For to their power I bear record. Yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves. He said, you know what? They did what they could do, and then they trusted God to do everything beyond their power that they couldn't do. He says, you know what? These folks gave beyond what they actually could conceivably see they could give. Amen. Now, we do that sometimes, but it's, you know, normally that's when tax time comes. Well, you know, I got to pay money. I don't have that money to give. Well, yeah, you do. Because if you don't, Uncle Sam's going to take it from you. And so we may not have it to give, but guess what? We seem to find it somewhere, don't we? Well, I owe Uncle Sam $5,000 in back taxes? He's insane. We write our letter of rebuttal. They say interest has accrued. Now you owe $5,500. Can I up-channel this? Yeah, but your interest will continue to incur. I don't have this to give. You know, we seem to find that $5,500 with the interest too. It's amazing. He said, hey, look, it's beyond their power. They didn't have to give, but they gave it anyway. Notice verse number 4, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift. They said, look, please take it and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. They said, please take this money and take it down to the people that need it. What am I saying? We've got missionaries that do just that. They take the finances that we give them and they go to these countries that God told us to go to that we can't go to. Unless they're going to Hawaii. And then we'd much gladly go with them. But everybody doesn't go to Hawaii. Some people do go to Siberia. Some people do go to the African countries. Some people do go where there is no internet. Oh! No internet. No cell phone. Oh! No TV. Oh! I'm hyperventilating. Say that again. You said there's no what? No internet, no TV, no cell phone. Nobody your age. Nobody your color. Oh! I'm going to have a heart attack. That's why God sends somebody else, because he knows that's how you're going to react. He knows you're going to react that way. So he says, let me send somebody else. Since you have this allergic reaction to all of those things, let me send someone that will go and pay the sacrifice. Just like my son came and sacrificed. And doesn't that just make you feel guilty? Makes you feel guilty. Well, I guess I don't need this cell phone. I'd like to get my cell phone away. Anybody want it? That means you got to take all the calls that come with it. Kids, you got to love them, amen. Three takers. They just want to play my Candy Crush, that's all. Say, preacher, you still play that? That's the only thing I can play, amen. It's easy, amen. What am I saying here? He said, hey, look, the grace was shown beyond their power. It was shown in their poverty. Hey, he said, there's a demonstration here. They presented themselves. That's why they could do this. Notice verse number 5. And this they did, not as we hope, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. He said, the only reason they could give the way they gave was because they gave themselves to the Lord. You'd be surprised what you could give when you give yourself to the Lord. Because you give to what he values most. And you know what God values most in all the world? It may shock you. It's people. It's people. He values people more than anything. Why do you think the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave? He values people more than anything. Preacher, not the buildings, not the architecture, not the knowledge, and not, no, he values people. It pains God to see anyone die. It pains him to see them die without Christ. The Bible says the Lord is not slack concerning his promise of slackness. As he said, but he's long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all will come to repentance. He wants everybody to know. But guess what? People, in order to know, have to be told. In order to be told, someone's got to go. Hold your finger there, Romans chapter number 10. Very, very familiar scripture passage that we know. When you look at Romans chapter number 8, Paul pleading about his people, Israel. And notice what he says down here in verse number 13, for whosoever. Now, matter of fact, let's go back up to verse 12. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto how many? All that call upon him. For whosoever, put your name there, whosoever, Greg, Carmen, Joshua, Faith, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But then how then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him? Oh, they have not heard. And how should they hear without a preacher? the final hour said, we'll go. We'll go. Brother T.J. Tilley said, I'll go to Belgium. I'll go to Belgium. I'll start that church in Belgium. Because, Lord, I know you've got somebody waiting in Belgium. And guess what? I wasn't waiting in Belgium, but I came several years later to a church that was already established by him. And I got saved. Brother Kraft, who will be here tonight, said, I'll go to Spain because I know there's somebody that needs to be saved. And Pastor and Mrs. White came and got saved. Am I saying, how shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach, verse 15, except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Hey, I've got to hear about him to believe on him. And when I hear about him, I can believe on him and I can get saved. Yes. By the way, I knew about Jesus Christ. I knew that he died for the world. I knew he was buried. I knew he rose again the third day. But I needed someone to explain it to me. It's one thing to put it all across the world globally. God so loved the world. But guess who's in the world? Me. I needed somebody to bring it home and show me how I could be saved. That's what missionaries do. They take the gospel to somebody and say, let me tell you how you can be saved. Let me tell you that God loves you. Let me tell you how special you are to God. Well, what about God so loved the world? He does, but he loves you. He loves you. That's not going to happen without a preacher. Somebody's got to go. Somebody's got to be sent. Back over in 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So you come down there, verse number 6. Notice what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. And so much we desire Titus that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Paul says, you know, Titus is going to come down there and he's going to receive that which you said you promised. You said you promised to help. And so we want you to get involved, and so we want you to help. Paul reminds them in verse number 7 of some things that they already excel in. He says, therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and all diligence and your love to us. He said, these are all great things. You love us and you have knowledge. You have diligence. You've got faith. Utterance, you can speak. You've got all these things. He says, see that ye abound in this grace also. What grace is that? The grace of giving. He said, you are excelling in all of these things. Now excel in your promise that you said you would do and give. And I like verse number 8, I speak not by commandment. Paul said, I have apostolic authority. He said, but I'm not commanding you to do this. By the way, when you give, you don't have to do it. He said, I'm not speaking by commandment. I can't command you to do this. By the way, I can't command you to do it either. Well, preacher, you want me to give only if you love God. Only if you're thankful for what God has done for you. Only if you want somebody to have what you have. Don't want you to give against your will. Don't want you to give grudgingly. The Bible says not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Now think about it. My wife could ask me for some money. Honey, I want to buy one of those 15 dresses you talked about. I could go into my wallet and say, here, here's my credit card. Happy? You know what she'd say? GT, how much money you got? Why? I'm grudgingly. Now, you know I only got $150,000. Always wanting somebody's credit card. Then you buy a dress the last 10 years. Grudgingly. Now, think about it. Does God want you to give that way? But sometimes, is that the way we give? Got to give to missions again, missionaries. Fine Hour's got enough money. His money, his name says fine, so he must be fine. They got enough money. They only got one daughter. How much money could they need? much money as God gives them to go over and do the job. As much money. How much do you need? How much do you want? See, we don't like to put the equation there. But when it comes to giving missions, just want to live like a king, don't you? Don't you? Don't you? You need to live like a pauper. Live poor. I don't see any holes in those knees. Let me see the bottom of your shoes. No holes there. You don't need any shoes. How long you had those? 40 years? Like children of Israel. You'll be all right. That's how we treat missionaries sometimes.
Yeah.
Like they're second-class citizens. They don't need anything. Brother, find out. Pinch yourself. Don't you say ouch too when you pinch yourself?
Ouch.
Doesn't it hurt? Especially when she does it, amen? Sarah, how old are you?
I'm 15.
15. Don't you want some of the things that other 15-year-olds have? You don't want to live like a miser. But we think they should live like a miser. Like she's a missionary's daughter, so she should sacrifice. Well, how about you? How about you? Hey, he says, hey, I can't command you to do this. I can't command you. My wife can't command me to give her the credit card. She can spend her own when it comes out the same pocket. He's saying, if you won't give me the credit card, I won't ask. I'll just spend it anyway. That's what being married is all about. Amen. What's yours is mine, and what's mine is mine too. Amen. Somebody say amen to that. Amen. So Paul says, hey, you know what? I can't command you to do this. He said, but by occasion of the forwardness of others. He said, others are doing this and they are already doing this. He said, but most of all, it's to prove the sincerity of your love. He said, if you really love God, if you really love God the way you say, it shouldn't be a problem. If I really love my wife, she shouldn't even have to ask for the credit card. I say, honey, what do you need? I said, hey, honey, you hadn't bought anything in a long time. Hey, here you go. My wife and I have this understanding. I know that she is not frivolous. I know that she's not foolish. And she knows if she needs it, buy it. Because I know she's going to buy what she needs. She's not going to go out there dressed like, you know, a $10,000 dress. Look what I bought. How much did it cost? $10,000. Let's mortgage the kids. Sell them off as slaves to work this debt down. Debtor's prison. There they go. Daddy, why we got to go to prison? Your mother bought a $10,000 dress. We can't afford it. Where are we going? You're going to wash dishes for the rest of your life? Dishpan hands. Here we come. I know she'll take care of it. We give money to God through the local church to go to the missionaries. It's their job to take care of it. He says, sincerity of your love. Prove the sincerity of your love. And notice verse number 9. We're going to close with this verse. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ had all grace. God's grace is demonstrated in our Savior. Not just through the saints in verses 1 through 8, but then verse number 9, demonstrated through our Savior. Paul, as his manner is, always brings a relationship of giving in line with Jesus' giving. He said, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that he through his poverty, that ye through his poverty might be rich. You know, Sarah had to give up a lot. She's 15 years old. Over in most of those countries, you can't even drive till you're 18. That's one thing I liked about ministering in Belgium. The youth couldn't drive until they were 18. So they were in a youth group, 16, 17, because they couldn't go anyplace else. They couldn't drive. You come to America, they can drive at 16. Come to the youth group. Ah, I'm going to the movies. Ah, I'm going there. Ah. Over there, man, they were a captive audience. They couldn't drive. Sarah's got to give that up. She can't drive on her own. Amen. Now, she's a girl, so girls aren't at like boys. Boys are like, what? Can't drive? Are you kidding me? I told my son, I said, look, when you get your license, you're going to run all the errands. You're going grocery shopping. You're picking up everything that we need. Yeah. I said, that's going to get old real fast. Dad, I'm going to Fry's. Yes. Oh, can you pick me up? But Dad, I wasn't going to Fry's. Yeah, I know. My mother used to always do that. Where you going, Greg? Yeah, I'm going over here. On the way, pick up. It's bad when you're a boy and you have to pick up ladies' items.
Uh-oh. Oh,
And when you're 16, that doesn't work good at all. You try to put on one of the masks and they think you're a burglar or something, you know, like put a bag over your face, go through there, and looking at it, it's not for me. They put that stuff on there. Some of y'all are like, what kind of ladies item? You get there. I say, Mom, do you have any heart? Send your daughters to go get that. Why would you send me? They moved out of the house. That's okay. They can get it on Amazon and send it here. Send Olivia. She's 7 years younger. She doesn't have a license. Send her anyway. What am I saying? He brings our giving in line with the Lord Jesus Christ. And notice what he says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. He was prosperous. It says, though he was rich, he became poor. Though he was rich, yet for your sakes, he became poor. So the prosperity that he enjoyed in glory, he came down and became poor for our sakes. He had not place to lay his head, the Bible says. And he took on poverty. Notice what it says down there. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. He purchased our pardon by giving up everything and coming to be a man and taking on our debt. Not some of it, all of it. Talk about a sacrifice. That was the greatest sacrifice because he is depicting the lambs that were slain in the Old Testament. John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. In the Old Testament, the lamb just covered the blood. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. But now, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And so he became poor for our sakes that you and I could become rich. And not just us, but everybody in Asia. Everybody in Africa, everybody in Siberia, yes, everybody in Joliet, Illinois, where Stateville is at. Guess what? The prisoners need to be saved too. Why do you think they do some of the atrocities that they do? Oftentimes because they're not saved. Why do you think this boy shot all these people here in Florida? People in their right mind don't do things like that. We need the mind of Christ, and he became poor. And our grace giving is all because Jesus Christ first gave to us. And Paul says, I'm just reminding you, Corinth, of what you promised. And I'm reminding you of what Jesus Christ already purchased. Not just your soul, but everyone else's that will believe. And we just need you to help out with that. How much should I give? That depends on you. Depends on how God speaks to your heart. And so it was demonstrated already, and Paul says Jesus Christ gave. And can you genuinely say that you love God and not give? Amy Carmichael says this, you can give without loving, but you can't love without giving. If I really love, I'll give. I don't know about you, but I don't mind giving so that others can have what I have. And that's all Paul is asking. Give so that others can have what you have. One thing that I would say, Shining Light Baptist Church, we have asked you to continue giving until the end of the missions conference. But now when the missions conference comes, you need to ask God, what does he want you to give? We'll need about $75,000 for next year's missions program. That's about $1,400 a week, roughly. And if you want someone to have what you have, give. But I will close by saying this. If you want Jesus Christ like some others here have, you need to get. You need to receive. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. That's not about you getting, but about you receiving and then getting rid of your sin. Why? For God so loved the world that he gave. If you're here today without Jesus Christ, you need to receive. And you need to receive Jesus Christ, who died for you and loved for you. Christians, our job is just to give, to reciprocate and help someone else and be obedient to what God told us. Go and share what you have. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. No one looking around. Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your grace. Lord, help us to understand the grace that Paul is talking about here. The grace of giving. But Lord, we could not give until we received from you. Help those that are saved to really pray and ponder of what you would have them to give. But Lord, maybe there's a man, maybe there's a woman, there's a boy or girl here that has never received the grace of God. They've never been born again. If they died right now, they're not sure that heaven is their home. Oh, they're like me. They were religious, but they don't have that 100% assurance. God, I pray for that man, that woman, that boy or girl, that you would touch their heart. They might say, what must I do to be saved? And you allow us the opportunity to show them how they can be saved. Bless now this invitation in Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, no one looking around. How many would be honest and say, preacher, you know, I don't know. If I died, I'd go to heaven, but I am concerned about it. Would you pray for me? There's no one looking around. All the heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Amen. I see one hand. Just raise your hand. I want to pray for you this morning. I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. I'm concerned about it, preacher. Could you pray for me in your closing prayer? Man, woman, boy, or girl, right where you sit. I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven, but I'm concerned. Would you pray for me right where you're at? I won't call you out by name. I'll just acknowledge your hand. You can put it right back down. One hand has already gone up. Is there another? I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven, but I'm concerned. Christian, you should be praying. Lord, help me to be a better witness in my giving. Help me to give as unto you. Father, I do pray for the one and maybe others that could not raise their hand. Speak to our hearts today and help us to know that you love us and you want us to be saved. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed and looking around. As Miss Natasha plays the hymn of invitation, maybe you need to come down to an old-fashioned altar. Maybe you need to just kneel and say, Lord, what would you have me to give this year coming for missions? Or maybe you're here and you say, I don't know what I should give, but I know I should give something. Maybe you need to come to an old-fashioned altar and pray. Maybe you say, preacher, I didn't have enough guts to raise my hand. I'm kind of like you were. I'm a little afraid to come. Or maybe you need to come, just say, preacher, could you have someone show me how I can be saved? Would you come? Or maybe you want to join this church. Would you come? Would you come? I don't know how God's leading in your life, but you let God speak to your heart. Are you sure that heaven is your home? Why don't you come and let us take a Bible, give you the confidence, give you the assurance that you need in his word, how you can know that you're saved. Do you know? Are you sure? If you died right now, are you sure that heaven is your home? If not, let us take a Bible. God loves you and he wants to save you today. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. How about it? Maybe you say, preacher, I'm saved, but I'm not baptized. I need to get baptized this morning. Or don't you come forward? Let us tell you what you need to do to get baptized. We're here. We're standing by. Perhaps you're here. You say, preacher, I'm saved. I'm baptized. I need to join this church. Why don't you come? Let us tell you what you need to do. Join this church. And we'll help you out. Maybe God's calling you to give to missions. I don't know what God would, but listen to his voice. We're talking about reaching people for the glory of God. Talking about helping get the gospel around the world. Brother Feinauer and his family is a good example of a family surrendered, sacrificing, ready to reach a people for the glory of God. Say, preacher, what do they get out of the deal? Obedience to God. In the will of God. Hey, they're the ones that have surrendered to go someplace that possibly you don't want to go. But guess what? You can help them go. And others like them. Grace giving is how we're going to do that. We're going to promise to give and then give. The Corinthians stopped doing it, and Paul writing back to encourage them to do what they know they should do. Let God have his way in your life and in your heart. Father, thank you so much for what you've enabled Shining Light Baptist Church to do over these 17 years, or 16 years, I should say. And thank you for the many missionaries that we do support and the agencies. And thank you for the faithful people that have given year in and year out, nonstop. And Lord, some have even increased their giving each and every year. And Lord, we do pray that we might see another moving and another working through the saints of God. And Lord, we know for some of us, we'll give out of our abundance. And we know for some of us, we'll give through a sacrifice of some sort. And then, Lord, there may be some that may give by some exceptional faith. And so I do pray for each and every man, woman, boy, and girl here today. The Lord, you would help them to understand what you did for us. Lord, though you were rich, you became poor for our sakes. Thank you so much for loving us. Thank you for meeting our need. And Lord, thank you for these thy people that have gathered here today. Bring us back tonight and help us to enjoy the message from Brother Kraft, one of our missionaries, been faithful over these years that we have supported him. And I pray that you would meet his need as we listen to him. Support the fine hours and meet their need. And I will thank you for what you've done and what you continue to do. And I will thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Just get your attention just for a second. We do have the fine hours here. For the fine hour, I'm going to have you come up and close in a word of prayer.